General Government Committee. We are in session. I'd like to first open a work session on House Bill 2917. We've got, as was promised last week, a little amendment. Kara, do you want to...
Just a little tiny amendment, Madam Chair. Members, on page 9 of your amendment packet today, these are dash 2s. Lines 13 through 17 are slightly changed. This was at the behest of the Employment Department. It wanted to make perfectly clear that names, addresses, and phone numbers, or excuse me, not phone numbers, but number of employees at individual employers were protected, and also that we did change a may to, or excuse me, a may to a shall to make sure that these this information would indeed not be used for any other purpose than outlined in the rest of the bill. So a very simple change, but it makes the Employment Department happy. And the amendments I worked on with the Treasurer's Office.
Okay. We did not move the dash ones yet.
No, we did not.
And the dash twos completely replace the dash
twos. The dash twos incorporate the dash ones.
So we would only need one amendment.
Only to the, if you wish to go forward, just the dash twos.
Questions of Kara or further, anything further on this thing? Okay.
Madam Chair, I move House Bill 2917 be amended with the dash 2 amendments.
Representative Sumner moves House Bill 2917 be amended with the dash 2 amendments. Any objection? So ordered.
Madam Chair, I move House Bill 2917 to the House Special Committee on Budget with a due pass as amended recommendation, and the subsequent referral to Ways and Means be rescinded.
Representative Sumner moves House Bill 2917 to the House Special Committee on Budget with due pass recommendation and rescinding the subsequent referral to Ways and Means. Any objections? So ordered. And we'll close the work session on House Bill 2917. Thank you very much, members of the committee, and those folks who brought this to us for your work on it. Okay. I'm going to open a work session on House Bill 2157. And it is my intention at the end of today to have this out of this room and somewhere else. But in the meantime, I am going to invite a couple of folks to come up and speak for a maximum, are you listening, folks, 2 minutes, on a couple of issues that have come forward or need to be brought forward. I don't want to spend a whole lot more time going over what a lot of folks in this committee have spent an awful lot of time going over, but I do want to bring some things to the record that the Judiciary Committee might want to know. So Andrea Myers from the ACLU, would you like to come?
Good morning, Chair Berger, members of the committee, Andrea Meyer, Legislative Director for the ACLU of Oregon. I first want to do my thank yous. I'll run into my 2 minutes, but I do want to thank Dave Vandell and Patricia Whitfield, who brought the ACLU in early on from the Oregon State Police and spent a lot of time with myself and our Executive Director learning more than we want to know about fingerprints. I know some of you on the committee can relate, and so I also want to thank Representative Berger, Representative Cameron, and Representative Galizio for spending the time to work on this. I actually have written comments, finally. We'll provide that. I think this is a good work in process in terms of establishing a uniform policy for the use of fingerprints in non-criminal law enforcement background checks, and for many years we have indeed expressed concerns about the patchwork quilt of Oregon law, and you've all discovered that. And this bill with the dash 2 amendments addresses two matters that were of particular concern to us, providing the clear and uniform direction for both statewide and FBI fingerprint checks all originals and copies of the fingerprints being destroyed by the Oregon State Police. And previously, the law had actually been silent when there was only a statewide background check, which could include fingerprints or not. And so I'm pleased that this law makes it clear for all agencies and everyone else. Our one concern is, we've got two major concerns, which is a policy decision that we really urge the legislature to make. And I know, Representative Berger, Chair Berger, you want to move the bill out today, and I know you will likely move the bill out today, but so I guess I'm getting on record our one very deep or two deep reservations that we hope will be addressed, if not by this committee, then by subsequent committees. One is that the legislature in this dash two is giving, what we would like is it should not give the authorized agencies unbridled discretion over the scope of job positions and contractors that are required to submit to a nationwide fingerprint background check. This bill brings in a large number of new authorized agencies. There are now 25 new sections in this bill. I'm not suggesting there are 25 new agencies. There are some multiple sections, but there's a huge increase. Everyone, and I think there's probably more who, Chair Berger, you're aware of that I'm not yet aware of who want to be at the table. But they have the authority to do this. And we think that a good example set forth in Section 21 is the military department, which sets forth the nexus. I'm limited in how many times I can use that word, but I'll try to.
And, Andrea, that is in your written statement, so we don't need to go into the example at great. Why don't
I wasn't going to, but it does. What it does is it sets forth a limitation on what jobs and the criteria. And there were actually a number of agencies that came prepared to limit their scope. And simply as an example, so you understand what I'm saying, Secretary of State's office had a broad inclusion, were willing to come to limit it to auditors, to other particular job categories from which they would then, through rules, have the discretion to limit it more appropriately. But it gave a limitation. And we think that's really a very important criteria to put back in on the front, and that shouldn't be left to the agencies. The other is the removal of the Oregon Lottery Commission from the procedural safeguards. Currently, the Oregon Lottery can do and does do a nationwide fingerprint check, again, through the Oregon State Police. And those requirements and Oregon law makes them a state agency for that purpose. We believe that if the legislature grants the commission the authority for fingerprint background checks through the Oregon State Police and the FBI, it should require the same safeguards apply to that entity as all others. If a prospective lottery employee is denied employment because of inaccurate criminal history information, they should be able to challenge that determination. You've already heard in testimony from DHS and discussed by this committee, we have a high rate of errors or corrections that are made when people can bring forward information, 50%. We're very troubled that this one entity is being carved out of this. The final point that is not in my testimony is, not to pick on Legislative Administrative Council, but I'm very concerned and don't quite understand why they're included in Section 57. The Legislative Administrative Committee is now thrown in to obtain nationwide fingerprint checks. And, you know, we believe that they shouldn't be included. Or, as I sometimes joke, let's add the legislators to it as well. But we think there does need to be some checks and balances and some restraint, and so we would urge you to remove that section. That said, again, I do appreciate the time the chair has given to this.
Okay. Thank you, Andrea. We will put your comments into the record and duly noted. Thank you too for your help with this work group and the effort that your organization has gone to for us.
I appreciate it, Chair Berger. I have a feeling that I'll be working on this issue during the interim, won't I?
It is a big issue, which is why this committee has spent so much time on it and why we ask so many people to be involved. So thank you for coming.
Thank you.
Olivia Clark from TriMet, and she has brought someone to speak to their issue that we would like to put on the record. You now have 4 minutes because that's what Andrea got.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, I'm Olivia Clark from TriMet, and with me is Helen Connor, an attorney from TriMet. I want to express our appreciation, first of all, for letting us come into this bill a little late to the party, I must admit. but I appreciate it very much. What's happening, just as a background piece, is that the Transportation Security Administration, which has been focusing primarily on airport security, this is under the Department of Homeland Security, federal, is now redirecting its attention to transit agencies. And that's why we're here today, is asking for that expanded authority to actually have background checked authority for contractors and prospective employees who will have access to security-sensitive facilities. And this is all coming to us from the Transportation Security Administration as well as the Federal Transit Administration. The background sheet explains it all. In the course of going through this process, we discovered there may be a problem with the language as it's written in terms of current employees, but we're interested in working that out with the Judiciary Committee. We don't think there'll be a problem, but just wanted to get that on the record with you.
Okay.
Did you want to add anything, Helen?
Chairperson Berger, members of the committee, thank you for having us today. This may be surprising for an attorney, but I have nothing to add to this comment.
Well, you have to, because you spoke to us, you have to put your name on the record.
Helen Colliner.
Welcome, Helen. Thank you. Thank you very much. We also have taken your documents to the file and will encourage the next committee to look at these issues.
Thank you very much.
And they're well qualified. Thank you.
Thank you.
Members of the committee, a lot has been done with this particular piece of legislation. I think we have gotten it as a committee as far as we're probably going to. I have put these things on the record as things that the next committee will have to address. We will all, myself included, be available to talk about this with the full House as to what, you know, is being attempted here, and it is sort of an omnibus piece that's hard to get to, but one that I think is very necessary for our state in the changing environment of both security and access to information, and frankly just the liabilities that we hold if the wrong people get in the wrong position. So I just can't say enough about all the folks that worked real hard on this and will continue to. I know that it will continue to get further attention, as it should. But I just think that we've done a really good job here, and I'm very proud of the work that has gone on. A special thanks to the members of the committee, the work group, Representative Cameron, Representative Galizio, Virginia Vanderbilt, and Tricia Whitfield. With that, Representative Cameron.
Madam Chair, I'll move that House Bill 2157 be amended with a dash to amendments.
Representative Cameron moves House Bill 2157 be amended with a dash to amendments. Any objection? So ordered.
Madam Chair, I'll move that the House Bill 2157 to the Judiciary Committee with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Cameron moves House Bill 2157 to the Judiciary Committee with a due pass as amended recommendation. Any objection? So ordered. Any final, before I close the books on this, any final comments from members of the committee that they want? Yes, Representative Sumner.
For the record, Madam Chairman, I, as a legislator, I have absolutely no problem with submitting my fingerprints.
Thank you very much.
Please do this.
Yeah. I absolutely. I'm not with you on that one.
I have no problem submitting Representative Sumner's fingerprints.
Yes. I won't take it.
Any further comments from the committee? Okay, then. I'm going to close this work session on House Bill 2917. Thank you all, and close today's House General Government, adjourn today's House General Government Committee meeting.
Thank you, Madam Chair.